Friends, so far we have seen lot many aspects about the agriculture finance. In this chapter particularly, we are going to discuss about the sources, various sources and the schemes for agriculture finance. Now, for the purpose of our discussion, we will take into consideration some of the sources from where the finance can be arranged by the farmers. So non-institutional sources, institutional agency and the commercial banks, agriculture cooperative credit societies, central cooperative banks, state cooperative banks, government, land development bank, small finance bank, agri NBFC, then institutional agriculture finance and other schemes. These are the institutional source. In addition to that, we will also see which are different schemes populated or organized or arranged by this institutional source or institutions so as to grant the finance to the farmers. Credit, as you know, is nothing but it is a loan. Agriculture credit, as I said, there are several agencies, institutional as well as non-institutional agencies. Non-institutional agencies are completely different than the institutional agencies. There are two categories, okay, two categories, and these two categories are private sector sources or private sources or non-institutional sources under which certain agencies are falling. These are nothing but the money lenders, private money lenders, landlords, sometimes the commission agents and relatives, friends, etc. These are the non-institutional sources of getting the finance by the farmers. Another one, and that is very important, is institutional source of finance, which consists of the government banks, cooperative societies, then some other government departments and some private sector banks, NBFCs, etc. Now, if you look at this structure, whatever I discussed now, this can be grouped into this like this. This is the agriculture finance, institutional source and non-institutional source. In non-institutional sources, the money lenders are coming here, landlords, traders and others will be grouped into this non-institutional sources. Whereas cooperative societies, commercial banks, land development banks, RRBs, that is regional rural banks, government and NABARD are coming, as well as the NBFC also, the small finance banks also newly added into this. These are coming into this, okay. These are the primary cooperative societies, central cooperative banks and the state cooperative banks. This is the structure of agriculture finance, institutional and non-institutional finance. In addition to that, there are two more institutions have been emerged very recently in last 5 years' time. And those two institutions are nothing but SFB, that is Small Finance Bank, and second one is Agri NBFC, that is Agriculture Non-Banking Financial Corporation or Companies. So the overall, these are the sources of agriculture finance. Sources, I mean to say. Schemes we see later on. But these sources, now how these sources are functioning so as to grant the loan to the agriculture, that we have to see. First, we will concentrate on the non-institutional sources. Non-institutional sources, as I said, first one is the money lenders. In villages, you know, people are depending on the money lenders. Money lender are two types. These are two types of money lenders. One is a professional money lender. Professional money lender means he supplies only to the farmers and his function is to grant the loans for agriculture only. Okay. Second one is the agriculture money lenders who combines money lending with the farming. And the first one, for other purposes also he can lend the money. That is non-productive purpose. Okay. So these are the two types of money lenders. In most underdeveloped countries, backward countries of Asia, the money lenders have the biggest contribution to the farm credit or agriculture credit. Money lender satisfies none of the tests, okay, of the good credit system, because they don't have the law, they don't have anything, any written communication or anything they are in writing. Only since they know the people, they are giving the money. And with the oral or simply by agreeing each other verbally, the repayment schedule they are fixing. Okay. So this is the type of money lending. Money lenders are giving loans to the farmers. The main reason of the popularity of these money lenders consists of because this money lender, they are not making any attempt to integrate the credit or the loan with services, and his loan can be utilized for the productive as well as non-productive purpose. Farmer is approaching him, he wants money, he is giving money. What for he is using money? He is not bothered. He only concerned about his money and getting back along with the interest on the stipulated time period, within the stipulated time period. That is his interest. There is no credit, there is no loan agreement, there is nothing. Okay. Then he may not necessarily insist upon any tangible security also, because he knows by face the person. Then the loan advances are the seldom and related to the purpose, and he is not particular about fixing the duration for the loan. Within this much period you have to give. He is not insisting. He simply says, give me interest on whatever I have given it to you. That is why there is the farmers are also very happy, even though they are paying much on the higher side the loan component. The main reason of the popularity of money lender also consists of the adapting himself as a requirement of the borrower, and it is a quite flexible terms. It is not like that within 1 year, within 3 months time, within 6 months time, or within 2 years time you have to pay. He is not fixing any time slot for repayment of the loan. Then this credit is also available readily, at least to those persons to whom they knows very closely. And village is a small group of the people. And each and every person the money lender knows. And money lender knows each and every person also. So people are comfortable where he will go after all, because he has a landed property over there. He will not leave the village. He knows that what he is producing. He knows his income and everything happens. So money lender adapt somewhat flexible attitude towards the execution of documentation and the security to be obtained. There is absolutely no requirement of the security. That is what they thought of. Okay. Then second type of the money lender is the traders and the commission agents. These traders and commission agents are the community where the farmer is taking his product into the market. And once he entered into market, right from the gate till the sale of its product or produce, everywhere these traders and the commission agents are spread. So they provide the loan to the farmers for the productive purposes only, because they are dealing in the product only and produce only. So before the harvest is ready, on the condition that they are selling their produce to them at a predetermined price, which are usually very low as compared to the prevalent market practices at the time of harvest. This type of loan requires or acquires more significance in the case of the cash crops like cotton, groundnut, sugarcane, tobacco, etc. Because the traders and commission agents are dealing with these commodities and they know the these farmers. They know these farmers. That is why they say, okay, when the season comes, you have to bring that product to produce to me. I will sell it. And before that, they are giving the money. Before the produce comes, they give the money before the harvest comes. So farmers are also happy. Even though little bit less price they are giving, no issues, they are happy with that. Then borrowing from the traders and the merchant dealers, okay. Merchant dealers are nothing but they are auctioners. Sometimes they are taking their products and auction is happened into the market. And they says, before giving the loan, they say you have to bring your product to me. There may be these traders, merchant dealers or auctioners or the cattle dealer also sometimes come into the light. So traditionally, widespread practices are among these farmers and it is common for the farmers to obtain a cattle or the seed or at the deferred payment, and for that they are giving the whenever they are giving the loan and they are repaying it when the produce comes and they sell into the market. The requirement is very simple, easy to approach. That is, commission agent, traders, they are easily approaching to the farmers. Then in the absence of the whole range of formalities and the convenience of being able to borrow at any time the farmer needs. So this is very easy to obtain the loan from these commodities, these agents. That is why farmers are very much satisfied. Borrowing from the trader and the commission agents suffers two serious defects. There are two serious defects. One, the cost of borrowing, which is rarely known, for it's not usual for the traders to state the rate of interest which is charged. Okay. And second one, borrowing from the trader and the merchant is often accompanied by the conditions which seriously limits the farmer's freedom of buying and selling in the market of his own choice and at his own time. That is not permitted when the money is borrowed from these commission agents and traders, because farmer doesn't have any freedom to go to some other trader from whom he has not bought or borrowed from him. He has to give those produce to him only from whom he has borrowed the funds. Third category is a private borrowing. Private borrowing is nothing but it is a borrowing from the friends, relatives, and sometimes landlords from the villages, and also some shopkeepers who are working in the villages to overcome the temporary difficulties of the farmers. The private borrowing is very prevalent in the rural areas, particularly because there is no means of measuring to the real estate, up to what amount I can lend or up to what amount I can borrow. Whatever amount I need, I can ask to these people, friends, relatives, landlords, so as to help him out for a temporary period. As and when crops is coming or when the produce is coming, ripen, that time he says that I will make the payment of this. Okay. This private borrowing are also often convenient and also undoubtedly it adequate, but it suffers at least three disadvantages. Borrowing from the private friends, relatives and the landlords has three defectives or three disadvantages. One, in the first place, the conveyance cost is generally high, means interest which is charged by them, it is generally high. Secondly, they are not usually repayable in regular and easy installments. Anytime there is no fixed installment to pay, there is no interest rate is fixed Okay. And thirdly, they are always liable to the foreclosed at a short notice, and thereby it causes the considerable inconvenience, if not embarrassment, to the borrowers. Having understood this community, lenders community, we can also see what could be the future of this lending by these agencies, which are called so-called as a non-institutional agencies, non-institutional credit. First thing is that farmer is less helpless than the past and is therefore able to obtain the private credit on slightly improved terms in some areas. Second, decline in the contribution of the non-institutional credit. Slowly, they will start not to borrow from these agencies. Thirdly, the large section of the society, which are the cultivators, who continue to seek the credit from the private credit agencies because it is easily accessible, flexible, and the period of repayment, as far as the period of repayment is concerned, and the procedure for lending and the security requirement which is stipulated by them, they cannot meet with. That is why this future will continue to remain, but the scale or the opportunity to lend will be reduced from the by these non-institutional agencies or non-institutional credit. Because of the institutional credit, which restricts itself to the productive purpose, the section, major section of the society or cultivator or the farmers who needs largely for the consumption purpose. Consumption purpose means celebration of birthday, marriages, or any other puja and so many other things which are non-productive celebrations. For that purpose, if they know they need the loan, for that purpose, definitely they will approach to these people only, because institutional agencies are not favoring to grant the loan for the non-productive purposes. As long as these two problems persist, the role of private agency is likely to remain significant in the rural areas. Okay. Further, some of the new generation agri NBFCs have started granting the short-term loan for the consumption purpose to the farmers in addition to the crop loan granted by them. The portion of the loan to be granted for the crop loan will be reserved for the consumption purpose. Say, for example, whatever 100 rupees loan is proposed to be granted for the crop loan, they will reduce that. So they will reserve at least 20% for the consumption purpose, and 80% amount they will grant for as a crop loan, and 20% loan they will grant as a consumption loan. This is the practice which is followed by the new generation agri NBFC. However, when it is insufficient or inadequate, the farmer attempt to borrow from the traders which is operating in the mandi. Mandi is nothing but it is a marketplace. And these mandi dealers are much aware that these farmers, definitely they will bring their produce to them only. That is why easily they can lend it without any documentation. These mandi dealers, traders are also known to the farmers. So, without any security, these dealers lend to the farmers maybe with high rate of interest or so. But that is the need of the farmers, and farmer doesn't hesitate to obtain the loan from them. These dealers definitely ensures and make it compulsory to the farmer or the borrower to sell their crops or their produce through them only. So farmer does not have any chance to negotiate the price. Therefore, the farmer has to accept the low price, and that also a low price than what is happening or what is quoted in the market. This is one of the drawbacks of the system of borrowing from the mandi dealer who is non-institutional lender also. Okay, having understood the concept of the non-institutional and lending by the non-institutional, various drawbacks, profit, and why the farmer is borrowing from the farmers, we come to discuss, or we will discuss now, the institutional agencies which are very much known for granting the loans to the farmers. First and the prominent is commercial banks. These commercial banks are financing the agriculture, and that is very significant through most of the development of the agriculture economics, and they have entered into this field very recently, lastly maybe 15-20 years back. Government in underdeveloped countries have gone to the extent of nationalizing their banks or undertaking the banks and then encouraging them to open the branches in the rural areas so as to give access to the farmers, and they can easily access the farmers and the farmlands. So the commercial bank can also extend their support to the provision of the rural credit by way of indirect financing by financing the cooperative societies which are engaged in the marketing the processes of the agriculture produce or activities which are ancillary to the agriculture, such as dairy farming, poultry farming, goat rearing, sericulture, pisciculture, like this. So these are the indirect finance. So providing indirect finance for the distribution of the fertilizers also, and also inputs which are required for the to grow the crop, that is also called as an indirect finance. So extending credit to the manufacturing and the distribution of the firms and the agencies and the cooperatives which are engaged in supply of these agriculture inputs, and the machinery and the financing agencies engaged in the procurement stage at the distribution of the farm product, these are covered under non-farm credit or non-productive credit. Okay. Now, let us understand something about the agriculture cooperative credit. Agriculture, commercial banks we have seen. Commercial banks, yes, now and then, they are very liberal now. They have entered into the rural areas as and when it is required, they are granting the loans to the farmers. But there are certain limitations also. The another agency which works for this is Agriculture Cooperative Credit Societies. In every village, there is a cooperative society. Every village, there is a cooperative society. The cooperative form of the organization is considered the best of providing the credit to the farmers, especially to the small and marginal farmers. Okay, so the cooperative organization have been recognized as the best institutional source for providing the rural credit to the farmers, because they satisfies all the important criteria of sound agricultural credit, which is required. Sound agricultural credit. Okay, it satisfies the basic condition of the proximity, because in village they are located and they know the complete village, they know the farms, product, farmers, everybody. So it is very easy for them to supervise the use of the credit, whether it is properly utilized, particularly end use I am referring to. It can be supervised with the use of the credit so that it can be harvested, improving the productivity of the land, etc. This credit which is provided by the cooperative societies is bound to be cheap due to their low administrative cost. There are not many people working into that, okay, working into Agriculture Cooperative Credit Society. There are very few. So administrative cost is less. That is why they are charging less rate of interest. And they are paying as and when the farmer is required. Okay, so the credit provided by the credit society is also safe as it assists and does not hamper the borrower's stability and the productivity capacity. Despite that, there are certain defects in the cooperative credit institutions. Okay, now what are those defects? These defects consist of one, the tendency of the cooperative credit has been to flow mainly towards the larger cultivators. They generally not consider the request of the small and marginal farmers. Okay, this is one thing. They always focus on the large agriculturalists or large farmers who is owning big size of the land. Second one is the proportion of the cooperative credit society's total borrowing for the cultivators appears to have continued to be a small on the absolute standard. For the cultivators, usual crops it is fine. Cultivation requires the longer period. So, very limited amount of the loan is granted by these agriculture cooperative credit societies. Then large number of primary agricultural credit societies are neither viable nor even potentially viable and must be regarded as then inadequate and unsatisfactory agencies for dispensing the production or oriented credit. Even for the consumption also they are giving the credit. Society, even if a small illiterate farmer, if you ask them loan from the society, they are all aware of how to obtain it, because they know the people who runs the society. They easily approach them. Purpose is immaterial for them. That is why using this kind of credit for the productive purpose is very remote chance. If end use is not at all considered for granting the loan by this agriculture cooperative credit societies. Then increasing overdue from year on year basis, because these societies, they do not deny. And as I said at the beginning, these societies are focusing on the large borrower. That is, large borrower means the farmer who is having the large quantity of the field or farm. And if 1 year, if they borrow and they do not repay, next year they again approach, they again borrow, they do not repay. Third year again they borrow, they do not repay. Like that, having debt is increased more and more on these kind of people. So small and marginal farmers definitely denied, because the society doesn't have the funds. So under the circumstances, increase in the overdue from year on year basis by the borrower is one of the biggest headache. Then cooperative credit has frequently fallen short of the standard timelines, adequacy and dependability. Money source is only whatever the contribution and loan repayment is given, or initial capital or initial contribution which is made by the farmers, the society is came up, because it is a cooperative. And in one shot, if the one big landlord, if he takes the loan, then everything is finished. That is why it is not always safe to depend on the agriculture cooperative credit societies. Then inadequate coordination between the authorities and the agencies in charge of the cooperative credit and those in charge of the supplies, extension, etc. under the agriculture programs. There are various programs, but it is very difficult for them to monitor it. Now, in this cooperative credit societies, primary agriculture credit societies as also working as the one of the lender in the rural area. Popularly they are called as a PACS, primary agriculture credit society. Popularly they are calling it as a PACS. These PACS are the grassroots level arms of the short-term cooperative credit structure. Short-term loan, okay? These PACS deals directly with the farmer borrower and grant the short-term loan, and the medium-term loan also, maybe up to 1 year, and also undertake the distribution and marketing function also through them. So, granting loan to the farmer, supervising the production, and when the produce is coming, they will say, okay, you market it, because the dealers with whom their farmers are dealing are already tied up with these packs. So, the money which will be generated after the sale will be directly coming to these primary agricultural credit societies, and less default will be occur there. That is why these packs are getting very much popularized over there. The packs have stepped up in their advances to the weaker section, particularly the small and marginal farmers, because of the very cause for which they have established. Thank you very much.